Welcome to Planet Local Voices from the Local Futures podcast. In this series, you will hear from a wide array of voices who came together in 2023 to build a global movement for local economies worldwide. This episode features Thais Mantovani. Thais is a young woman from Sao Paulo, Brazil, passionate about education reform and eco-cultural regeneration. She is the co-founder of Eco Universidade, an educational platform that drives systemic change. She's a Youth Climate Leaders Fellow, a member of the Global Regeneration CoLab Network, and a long-time collaborator of Local Futures. She studies and promotes localization and regeneration in Brazil. From Planet Local Voices, here's Thais Mantovani.
I've just come from the Amazon. I've been in contact with this indigenous community from the Munduruku people for a long time now, for a year and a half. But I finally created enough trust in the relationship so I could visit them. And I stayed in their house, in the cacique's house, for 2 weeks so I could meet them best, create better relationships, in-person relationships, so we could understand how could we work together and bridge a little bit of, well, my perspective, which is a modern perspective, and his indigenous perspective, and how could we collaborate in a more respectful way. It taught me like real life local economic system. So I've lived my whole life in a huge city in Sao Paulo, very much globalized and modernized and westernized city. And when I move into a different territory where people are interconnected with the territory, with nature, they hunt to eat and they are gatherers of fruit and of seeds. They are interrelated with the land and the territory. This shows me how much local economies are possible and how much their relationships with place and with non-human beings are the it's what sustain their lives. So we create all this narrative that modernity is something that cannot be, there's no other way of living actually. So we are basically blinded to other possibilities. And then when you remove yourself from the modern ambience, like the place that you're in, which is not only actually the ground that you're in, but what you're talking about, what you're eating, what you're hearing, everything that you're consuming, in a sense, is bringing you to a perspective that that's what's real. But it's a socially constructed reality. It's not actually the only possibility of inhabiting the earth. And when you move to an indigenous land, which has contact with modernity, has been colonized in a certain way, but it keeps its own values, its own culture, and especially the interrelatedness with nature, you see it is possible to live a local life, a local economy, based on trust relationships, based on trust relationships with nature, based on understanding what do we need to eat. I don't need to go beyond. It's not about accumulating. It's about knowing what we need and that being enough. So I think indigenous people, well, the ones I have relationships with in Brazil, are a great opportunity for us to understand and observe before collaborating, before bringing anything in, just observe and learning and contemplating how local economies have lived for such a long time, even before modernity ever existed.
It's a precious thing to be able to step into an indigenous Amazonian world that has not been uprooted by the global economy. But Thais also sees localization playing out in a very different part of Brazil, in the slums or favelas of its biggest cities.
We have this context of people who were pretty much connected to land, and you can see the process of modernization kind of corrupting that connectedness and that intimacy with each other and with land. And you have people who are so far away, that rural, that doesn't even know how to relocalize. But I see that, especially on the margins of society, the unprivileged people, they still hold community values. They still hold local values. So I've worked in favelas, and I've seen so many local projects there that are based on relationships and trust. So I think this is one of the most important things. Like, how do we build trustful relationships that we can be really honest and open with each other? And upon that, you can build projects together around what do we need. So I've seen programs like people coming together into creating clean energy, into creating organic food in favelas, into creating different types of circular economy projects and exchanging things between each other, and not even taking a single dime from the government, which I think it's really sad, because I think the government should be helping these local communities, but working for themselves into something that actually makes sense in the way of living. So this is why trust, relationships based on trust are so important, because it's within these relationships and that creates community. So I visited a community in the favela of São Paulo, and they were fighting towards building housing for everyone. And the government gave them the money, but didn't give them any support on how to build. And they decided that they went after everything. So basically, they built the building for themselves, based on relationships of trust. So they found a person who knew a little bit of engineering, a person who knew architecture, and then they made the plan, they mobilized the whole community, and they built their houses for themselves. So we have those skills, right? We can learn from each other. And of course, it's not simple to build a house, and it's dangerous to build a house if you don't know, but if you are together, and if you exchange knowledge, and if you trust each other, we are able to do everything and to keep ourselves alive and to have a beautiful and sustainable life. So I don't think it's about living in the countryside or living in the city, but it's about knowing each other, understanding our needs, and creating solutions together. And if we extend the notion of families to other families and to other peoples, and like Vandana Siva just said, and love each other, actually, like truly, we understand, like, if someone next to me doesn't have a house or needs access to organic food, then I'm going to do something about that too, because that person is actually my family too. And that's what I learned with indigenous people, and this is what happens in favelas as well, and it's this generosity of helping each other. Like, in indigenous communities, everyone is your family. We call in Portuguese parentes, which is relatives. So if another relative needs help in their farming, help with their house, help with their energy, help in getting clean water, help in hunting, you will help them because they are a part of your family, they're your extended family. And this extends to non-human beings, to forests and plants and other types of animals. But when you're in the city, you're closed up in your apartment, everyone is competition to you, everyone wants your place or wants your money, and this sense of community, interrelationship gets lost. And I think this comes a lot from privileged spaces, where people want to maintain their place of privilege and power. And when you don't have that, you're in a marginalized space, people tend to feel more trust, people tend to feel more related to each other, people tend to collaborate best.
And that brought us onto a discussion of whether there's also a movement towards questioning modernity and conventional notions of success among the privileged classes in Brazil. In this vein, Thais shared some of her own story.
We tried so hard to fight our fears and just to live the most comfortable life we can in modernity. So we have our cars, we have planes, we have hot showers, we have everything that makes us comfortable. Because hunting is hard, going after your fishing is hard, and going after your food is hard. It's much easier if you get from the supermarket, because the part that is paying for that is invisible to you. So it's easy to you, but it's so much harder for other people who are in this massive global destructive system. But it's all invisible to you. So you go until this kind of top limit where everything is so easy around you. You have everything you need. And I include myself in that, because I am a privileged person within Brazil. So if you look in Brazil's reality, I'm one of the most privileged people. Like, I went to school, I have a house, I have a car, I can move around, I have a job. So all of that creates lots of comfort in my life. And when you're there, you're not happy, because that's not what makes you happy, because you don't have trusted relationships, because you don't have quality foods to eat, because you don't have a relationship to nature, and you become depressed, and you become you start questioning yourself what you're doing with your life, because you don't even know who you are. You have no self-knowledge about yourself. You're just living the story that someone else told you that it's success. And then I think COVID kind of clicked for lots of people. But when I was out of college, working in marketing, becoming successful and deeply sad and depressed, is when questions started kicking in. Like, I have everything everyone in the world would ever want or are hardwired to want. But this is not making me happy, so why is that? And it's not a personal problem. It's not about me or a psychological or biological problem. It's a systemic problem. It's a social problem. So that's when I started studying. And I love what Helena says about big picture activism, because what is the big picture? What is this? Are the systemic problems we're living? So when you start asking those questions, I think then you connect this global movement of people all around the world that have the privilege of living a comfortable life, and are able to make these questions, right? Because we have people in the favelas who don't have the privilege even to make the questions, because they're running after food and taking care of their families and paying their bills, and they don't have the mental space even to ask questions, a systemic question. Maybe they're just focused on their daily challenges. So I do believe that a global conscience is growing, and I think this is why we're here. This comes from a place of uncomfortableness with the system that we have created for ourselves, because fear, sadness, and frustration, they're part of life, right? So we can't chase a perfect life, which is going to be sunny every day, and it's going to be only comfort every day. Part of being related to nature and being related to each other, it's relating to your fears, it's relating to your traumas, it's relating to the difficult part of life. And nature is not only happiness and glowing, it has its teachings as well, right? Mother Nature is a tough mother as well, and she is teaching us. So we kind of had enough of being domesticated by the system. And I think education is the biggest part of domestication. So when you see in indigenous communities, for example, when they're closed off to modernity, and the first thing they do towards colonization and modernization is to put a school inside the community. And this changes everything. And I've seen myself, like, education has just created me as a part of the system, like an engine for the system, and hasn't taught me social innovation and how to change the system and make the system better or deconstruct it and do something else. It hasn't shown people how to innovate socially. It just shows you how to maintain something that creates privilege for few. So when you're out of the education system and you start working, you get frustrated. And we see that our work is not making any difference in the world. Like, if I was working in marketing and creating an advertisement for big companies, and I was like, why am I doing that? Why am I using my life to make more money for people who are already billionaires? And then when you start asking those questions, things change, and you connect with wonderful people who are trying to do different things, and you're understand that the lifestyle you're living is not the lifestyle who is going to change anything or even makes you happy. So my mom asked me a few months ago, are you happy now? And I was like, I am the happiest I have ever been. Because now I understand my responsibility. I don't feel blamed. I understand my responsibility of being a privileged person and working towards changing the economic system and changing our social constructs. So I feel like I'm in the right place. And working with indigenous communities for me also gave me the sense of what do they need? And I'm in service of them because they are truly connected to the earth and they have so much to teach us.
Finally, we asked Thais how she strikes the balance between being engaged in local projects and struggles, as well as international networks for systemic change.
I just love the localization movement, and because I understand like it's the essence of being local and global at the same time. I truly understand the value of being connected globally, of exchanging between cultures and understanding each other's problems, necessities, potentials. So I'm not for a localization where we are in our bubbles and we're not talking to each other. I truly believe that we need to be connected and create this relationship of trust between and across cultures and territories, but being really localized in our connection to territory, to resources, which we call resources, but in nature and relationship to nature, to foods, to housing, but also understanding what's happening around the world. So relocalizing is, of course, the solution. And the local movement around the world bring the sense of community. So when we are in our localities, in our territory, we know that every other person is in their territory as well, doing what they need to do to keep this planet alive and in abundance. And this creates strength and this gives us potency, and we are able to act locally even better with more heartedness and collaborating between ourselves. So I'm very glad to be part of the localization movement.
That interview was recorded in September 2023 at the Planet Local Summit in Bristol, UK. To get notified about new episodes, subscribe to our channel or sign up to our mailing list via localfutures.org. Also find on our website a vast collection of resources for education and big picture activism to shift the economy from global to local. And of course, we hope you'll tune in to other inspiring thinkers and movement leaders featured on the Planet Local Voices series. Until next time, thanks for listening to Planet Local Voices from the Local Futures podcast.